SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Veterans Day 2018. Good morning. Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website too, SteveBick.com. And there's always, when it comes to Veterans Day, and yesterday's remarkable 100th anniversary of Armistice. There's a certain reverential and respectful tone to set. That is really only part of the reason or the element of somber notes this morning, given what transpired on Saturday at Churchill, before most horse players and fans and stakeholders are up, 5:45 a.m., Odonis Acuna and New York Harbor went down in the stretch at Churchill, and Acuna was killed, and the sadness and the tragic overtones of this are just profound. Honestly, he worked for Ken McPeak for 10 years, and when he wasn't getting on horses in the morning, he was working for the feed company in the afternoons. When he wasn't doing that, he was helping at the Backside Learning Center at Churchill, and was just, by every account, a quintessential racetracker, known as Cuba, being from the island, and working to bring his wife and three sons to Louisville. And as Kenny McPeak, and Kenny can't join us this morning, just is not in the mindset to be able to address this. But Kenny's already set up a GoFundMe that has raised close to $100,000 in short order, and I'll give you some of those details in a little bit, and also for those of you that aren't involved online, there's a mailing address for the memorial fund to support his family, and the details so far as to what is going to transpire if the family is able to make the transition and come to the U.S. I don't know if that's been address, but the work was well underway, and Adonis was finishing the deals on buying a house. We've said before that on average, since they started keeping these records after World War II, on average, two riders a year are killed, which is as sobering a statistic. And that doesn't have to only be riders in the afternoon. The dangers, in fact, to some degree, the dangers in the morning are even more pronounced or as pronounced. Exercise riders can, get on a half a dozen horses or more a morning, and we've seen accidents and you've seen incidents with young horses and cool mornings. Horses, you know, horses will be playful and be a little wild. I mean, any number of things can go wrong and can result in, you know, sudden tragedy. And that's what this was. In this particular case, the New York Harbor, who was a two-year-old, hadn't raced yet. He went down, and mercifully, Acuna was taken immediately. So there was no suffering. You know, say two riders a year. Well, Jose Flores, of course, part of this year's just parade of sadness. It's just been one name and one, some are illnesses that are taking people that, you know, have enjoyed full lives, and others are taking people right in the midst of their life and career. And someone like Acuna, whose every working moment, whose every conscious moment for 10 years has been toward, you know, having a life in America, like so many other potential immigrants that like to, you know, have a vision and have a an image of what their lives can be. And that's what this country, of course, for two centuries has represented. Of course, that hangs in the balance. So, for those that can't get online, you can send a check to Odanis Acuna Memorial Fund, O-D-A-N-I-S, O-D-A-N-I-S, Acuna, A-C-U-N-A, Memorial Fund, 828 Lane Allen Road, 828 Lane Allen Road, Suite 240, 828 Lane Allen Road, Suite 240, Lexington, Kentucky, 40504. Odanis Acuna Memorial Fund, 828 Lane Allen Road, Suite 240, Lexington, Kentucky, 40504. And for those that have been to the GoFundMe, or you're going to go, you can find it, link on my page, McPeak Racing or Kenny McPeak's page. It's all over. It's absolutely all over the internet. And in less than 24 hours, the generosity and the industry is remarkable when it comes to this, of course. But 84,000, and Kenny started a target of 100,000 as a somewhat arbitrary number. But we saw this, of course, with the St. Louis Ray fire, and how people not just connected to the industry rallied and supported, but people outside, anybody that saw the horror and the mayhem at St. Louis Ray. And of course, those images being repeated in different guise with the fire. currently. But the GoFundMe is the same. Odonis Acuna Memorial Fund. And there'll be more updates and the details of what's to, you know, what's going to happen for the family, I'm sure will be forthcoming, as well as arrangements. We don't know what yet. Marty McGee tracking that. In addition to Acuna, there's, I mean, it's just unbelievable. I mentioned on Friday that Bob Levy had died, and of course Bob had a full, rich life, and Dick Girardi is going to visit later. And Dick wrote a beautiful obituary or memorial remembrance to Bob Levy. But he was the kind of character that racing attracts. Not, I won't even say used to. It, we still do. There's tons of Bob Levy's. So we'll have Dick visit, and Tony is going to. Not necessarily today, but and Thursday we're off. I've got an obligation on Thursday, so we'll do a best of. But we'll get Tony between now and Wednesday. Walter Reese, and I have not seen written notice about this, but Walter Reese passed away as well. And then there was the news over the weekend that Michael Muzio, who had trained and had been a jock agent and had worked in the racing office in New York, retired just a couple of years ago, and took sick in the spring and did not have much of a chance against a cancer that took him literally in months. And hearts go out to Karen Brady, who he was with, and they had moved to Melbourne, Florida, and retirement home, and really, again, just not fair. So if you hadn't heard about Moose, not easy. It's been a brutally tough year. Starting Jack Vanberg and Leroy Jolly, and really has not relented on that front. So I hate to start the day on a sad note, but there was no choice. Otherwise, an eclectic weekend of racing. We're still going to continue to include Breeders' Cup notes, and that includes coming up shortly here next with Mark Cassie. Cassie swept the stakes at Woodbine over the weekend, the Privyont on Saturday. She's the Berries. And then yesterday, Mrs. Weber's Super Charlotte took the glorious song. But you may have seen that Cassie kind of musing about running Shamrock Rose in the La Brea with the idea of strengthening Shamrock Rose's Eclipse candidacy. We'll get some thoughts on that. We'll talk about Shamrock Rose, who just couldn't have timed her run better. And, you know, that is really, it's not exclusive, but that's the profile, it seems, more often than not in that filly and mare sprint, that, you know, kind of mid-summer, they start to get good and start to dial in and make a start at Presque Isle. Make sure you get that in. Mark Cassie's going to join us. George Weaver. George didn't win a Breeders' Cup race, but doesn't mean we can't talk to George, because the win last week that I referenced and talked about a few different people, the Nashua Vekoma. We'll talk about Vekoma, and George also won, and Randy Hill, his principal top owner. They won at Laurel. We'll go through those races. They won with Majestic Dunhill. And we'll talk to George. Johnny D. Hour two, of course, and the last of the Stronach pick fives. Paid $17,000. It was tricky. It was a tricky sequence. A little frustrating. Couldn't connect on a Stronach five. We'll connect with Mark Cassie when we come back at the races. Happy Veterans Day.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races. Coming up on 20 into hour one on this Monday, Veterans Day. And Mark Cassie joins us. And we didn't get to Mark last week as part of the Breeders' Cup follow-up. And we continue. Todd Pletcher tomorrow will join us in hour three. And we'll talk about Bulletin and much more. And it's probably good that we didn't get together, Mark, because there's a bunch of other things to talk to, including this past weekend where you swept the two stakes at Woodbine, the Premiant and the Glorious Song. But let's start with Shamrock Rose, the filly and mare sprint winner. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. I was wondering, my feelings were hurt. You hadn't called me or talked.
Well, you and Baffert and anybody who didn't get called Monday was felt slighted, but that wasn't the case. There was just too much.
I'm okay. I'll get over it.
Well, this way I got even more to talk to you about. You know, I said as we were going to the break, Mark, Shamrock Rose really feels like another of the filly and mare sprint winners that has a certain profile of starting to really get good and then maintaining form, and of course the requisite visit to Presque Isle, which every filly and mare sprint winner has to have.
Exactly. You know, I'm really proud of Shamrock Rose for so many reasons, but because she's kind of truly what our organization is. You know, there's a filly, we bought her as a two-year-old for the Conrad. Showed some ability, won a stake in her first start, then kind of just wasn't doing well in the spring, and we brought her home, really didn't do anything but gave her some time on the farm, and then she came back and kind of has been hell on wheels since. Well, similar to, you know, Teppan did the exact same thing. A lot of people don't know that. She did it at the end of her three-year-old year. She threw in a real clunker. We brought her home and gave her some time, and then she became Teppan. World Approval did a little bit of it, too. So there's a lot to be said with, you know, when horses are doing well, running them, and when they're not, give them a little break. And that's exactly the case for Shamrock Rose.
There was also it seems like the timing, that middle portion of the year after the Weber City start, where she went a mile and a 16th, you came back and gave her a good 90 days, more or less. Was she away from the track, or was she in light training? What was going on in that interim there?
The Weber City, that's the race at Maryland?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I brought her home. I brought her home to Ocala, Mitch Down, gave her about 30 days just out eating some grass for a few hours a day, and then put her right back in training, and then sent her to Toronto. And she started training up a storm. I was working her with a filly that we think a lot of called Win the War, and she was actually giving Win the War all she wanted, if not more. And I saw that little spot at Presque Isle for 100,000 Pennsylvania bred, and I said, why not? And so that's what I did with her there. And then, of course, my next objective would have been to try to get her some graded stakes win. And I think she won the was it the Mazarine? Or no, it wasn't the Mazarine. The Celine.
The Lorgnette.
I believe. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think that was a grade three. And then I didn't have anywhere to go with her, and I thought, you know what? This filly's so good right now. So we took her over and we breezed her a couple times on, a lot of people don't realize this, but Woodbine has a dirt track as well. And we took her over and breezed her on the training track at Woodbine, and she breezed extremely well. And so that's when the Raven Run became, you know, was on my radar. I liked it because it was against three-year-old filly. It was at Keeneland, and it was a grade two. So I was looking for a next step for her, and so that's how we got there.
And that constituted a third straight win coming out of that mid-season break. And what really is notable is that, you know, she'd had, you know, two route tries over synthetics, Woodbine and Presque, and then back to the dirt. And she had run quite well, actually, in her first start at three when you brought her to New York. And she ran well in the Busher. And in fact, at that time, represented a career best fig. And so you had an inkling anyway that dirt was not going to be an issue. And the performance in the Raven Run was, you know, really we talked about it afterward. I mean, it was authoritative, and she ends up getting largely ignored on Saturday to start the Breeders' Cup races.
Yes. You know, if you watch the Buescher, she could have easily won the Buescher. She had a troubled trip. So you're right. I did have some inkling that she would run on the dirt. I had a lot of confidence in her going to the Raven Run. We worked her. David Carroll and I were there. We worked her at Keeneland. She breezed as good as a horse could breathe. And I'd set it up with Matt, and we had Tyler. And I guess I got a call. I got the call from Tyler about 3 weeks out, and about a week out, I got a call from Matt. Matt said I could ride one of the favorites. Could you let me off? And I said, no, because you're going to win it on mine. And I'm usually a pretty easygoing guy, especially if my horse is a long shot and they can ride a favorite. But I told him, and he thanked me right after. He was the first one. The problem was, for the Breeders' Cup, they had given a call to Kathleen O'Connell a long time prior for the Breeders' Cup, before we even came on the scene, and that's why they didn't ride her. That's why they didn't ride her in the Breeders' Cup. And I'm not complaining. IRAD gave her the ride of a lifetime, so that was perfect.
Well, and let's talk about that. She draws the 14, and it doesn't hurt necessarily.
No, I was okay with that. That wasn't a problem.
Yeah. No, and you could envision certainly the kind of trip she had in the Raven Run, but then once the gates open, she ends up further back than I would imagine you expected. But they did go real fast the first half.
Yeah, I was a little surprised going down the backside that she was struggling. She was struggling to keep up, you know. So I was a little surprised. I have to be honest, and I thought, well, was this a mistake? First eighth of a mile, first 3/16 of a mile, I did have some concerns. I won't lie.
The first inkling that she's going to at least put in a run comes, you know, on the turn and as they straighten for home, and you're obviously watching her, and it seems that every decision Arad made, and at every, you know, every jump mark where you could tell he was monitoring what was happening in front of him, where he thought, maybe should I go outside, and he stayed where he was. Then he had a chance maybe to go inside. He stayed where he was, and it ends up paying off when two different times seems open.
Yeah, he told me, he said, look, I knew if I went outside, it was over. So sometimes you got to hope for the best, and we got it. We'd been on such a roll, to be honest, Steve, it bad, starting with, we had Dreammaker, who I thought could win the Breeders' Futurity, and I was already thinking about the Breeders' Cup with him, and he got killed at the start and lost his shoe. So, and then Chocolate Kiss is another filly. So the racing gods, it was time for things to change for us a little bit, and it did there, thank goodness.
At every stride at that point, you could see her coming. When did you think or say to yourself, we can hit the board here? And then when did you say she can win this?
Well, we started. We were with Gary Barber. We had a beautiful box. We had one of the Derby boxes, and there was about seven or eight of us in there. And we started screaming at the top of the lane because we could see her running. I didn't even know. Everybody told me we won, and I was like, are you sure we won? Are you sure we won? I even walked out onto the track, walked down to almost the wire as the horses were coming back, and the first guy I ran into was Javier, and he was looking at the infield, you know, the tote board, and I'm thinking, well, maybe he thinks he won. I said, Avi, did we beat you? And he goes, oh, yeah, I'm just trying to see if I was second.
Ooh.
So then I felt good, but I wasn't sure until they put up the, you know, the number. I didn't want to let myself down. I never expect anything, so I just, I waited. I didn't know until they showed the number.
And you were, you of course were, I would say, as tickled and as kind of bemused by the whole thing, as was Mr. Conrad. And I suppose the only, you know, the only negative of this whole thing was that Penny Conrad couldn't be on hand for this, and that was one of the more enjoyable interviews after a race, where Mr. Conrad was kind of, it's all my wife, she did this.
Well, it's a fantastic story. If you ever, you know, I've been training now for him for about 5 years. They were about ready. They've always been just small breeders, and they only had 3 or 4 horses, and they were ready to get out of the business. And Penny called me crying and tears, and said, "Manfred says that this is too stressful on me, and he wants to get out. Will you take it over?" And I said, "Sure." So I did, and you know, we've been to the Kentucky Derby already for them with a homebred. I don't know. I think we've gotten 5 or 6 stakes winners. We only buy about 3 or 4 a year, and 5. But most importantly, they never question me and never doubt me. And I called them after the Raven Run, and I said, "I'm going with the Alan Jerkins theory. This filly's so good right now. She thinks she can beat anybody. I'm not so sure we shouldn't run her in the Breeders' Cup." And I said, "But I got to check, because I said, I don't think she's nominated." So we did some investigation, and first thought was it was going to be $100,000. And so I called him up, and he goes, "I'm good with that." And I said, "Okay." You know, and then we found out it was going to be $130,000. And he said, "Do they take a credit card? I'll give him that right to now." And they said, "Yeah." So he paid him, yeah. So, anyways, and the nice part, even though Penny wasn't able to make it down, their entire family came, the kids and everything. So that was special.
Well, and of course, you went. You mentioned the Derby. You went to the Derby with the State of Honor for them, and also participated in the Canadian Triple Crown Series mm-hmm. with him. And you've had. We've talked about a number of the Conrad horses over the years, and this was. You know, this is. I would say an encouraging scenario for, you know, for people that are involved in the game mark of a certain size. And on that topic, talk a little bit about picking her out. You got her at OBS last mm-hmm. year in the April sale, $120,000. She's a Pennsylvania bred, and she was the only chance Pennsylvania, of course, is one of our sponsors, and right. This was the only opportunity they were going to have in this year's Breeders' Cup, and there's been so many good PA breds the last few years, and so to win it's a tremendous spotlight for Pennsylvania breeding. But 120, you talk about her breeze and what put you on her. She's by First Dude, and she was bred by Best of Luck Farm.
Well, I just was so I've had great luck buying off of Best of Luck Farm. They do a tremendous job, Tommy and Lori Sackler. I was just so impressed by her breeze. And then when I looked at her, she's kind of everything that I look for in a horse. You know, First Dude's actually a little better than people want to give him credit for. He can get you a good horse. And I just looked at her, and I told the Conrads, Penny had said to me, she said, "I'd like you to maybe pick us up a horse." And if they always kind of look at Canadian breds first, you know, they're Canadian, and they live about an hour from Woodbine. I said, "There isn't any really Canadian bred I would like, Penny, but I like this filly." And she says, "Okay, what's she going to cost?" And I said, "I think probably about 100, you know, and, So I gave 120, and again, as I said to you, they don't ever question me. And I called them up, and I said, Penny, we got the horse, but we had to pay 120. And she said, well, that's wonderful, you know, and the rest is history. So, you know, they're just good people that deserve good things to happen to them. And another horse I was proud of, a lot of people don't know, but we bought him, I think the year before, we bought him a filly for about the same price, 110, Jennifer Lynette, who was a grade three stakes winner, and we sold her on Monday, Faz and Tipton, for $575,000 right off the track. So Conrad's had a pretty good weekend.
That's for sure, and that was the other big stake name for the Conrads.
Yeah,
isn't that funny?
Jennifer Lynette. Yeah, we bought her. I think we bought her at Keeneland as a yearling. So they've been good. And then the other thing is they're good for the business. They went back and at the Keeneland sale, we bought I think 4 yearling Canadian bred colts. They want to try to win the Queen's Plate, so we went and bought 4. Canadian bred colts for I think about 1.1 or 1.2 million. So they keep the numbers down, but they're players and they're wonderful people. That's the most important thing.
Well, you know, and I, to tie in as well to best of luck, it's a great point, and you give a real clue to people and to the way the business works in terms of having success with somebody and going, you know, going back and being cognizant that, you know, you're dealing with somebody that breeds a good horse and does a good job raising a horse, and they best of luck both I think of them more in Florida, right? They are,
but I guess they were wanting to take advantage of the Pennsylvania bred program, so they sent the mare up, you know, in Folder in Pennsylvania.
They've had a big year themselves. They've got that Moms on Strike came from them, and Shenandoah
right.
Queen,
oh,
They
just do a real wonderful job. And the big, most important part to me is what you see is what you get, and that's all I ask for. No hidden secrets. I wanted to tell you I had thought about running Shamrock Rose back again this year, but I'm not going to.
Okay.
I think she deserves to be champion. Sprinter. I guess some do and some don't. I had thought about maybe taking her out to California, but I just don't think that's the best thing for her. What I'm going to do, Steve, is I'm probably going to stretch her out again. I think her best race is probably 2 turns, and wants to go a little farther. So we'll probably concentrate on that next year.
And I was going to ask you, because Marty McGee did write the other day that you were, you know, kind of mulling that over and trying to reinforce the resume. But typically you win this race and that, you know, that'll get it done. Fold in the Raven Run. It's going to be interesting because, of course, Marley's Freedom has got. It has got the ballerina to her credit.
Yeah, but my say to this is, look, yes, a couple of the recently the Philly sprinters that have won the Breeders' Cup were not champion. But if you look at their form, they had been beat up pretty good prior. Our Philly, since coming back off of her freshening in this fall, she's been unbeatable. So you can't hold against her where she's run. She's destroyed the competition when she's ran against it. And, yes, Marley's Freedom's won the ballerina, but Marley's Freedom had a shot to beat us, and we beat her.
Absolutely.
So and the Breeders' Cup is supposed to be the Olympics. It's supposed to be where the best meet. We beat her. Not only did we beat her, we beat everybody else. We beat them off of 2 weeks rest. And the other thing is, I don't think there's been another 3-year-old to ever win the Philly Sprint. So I don't know. So we got a 3-year-old coming off of 2 weeks rest, destroyed the field in the Raven run to me, and I know I'm biased, but she's going to sit and wait for next year.
Yeah, and there's no doubt that the performances will go a long way. I hadn't really thought about this category just because so often it does simply come down to to the Breeders' Cup performances, and I don't see why she doesn't.
The only filly really there that wasn't there would be Dream. Is it Dream Tree? Yeah.
Yeah.
And she unfortunately had some issues and missed it, but she beat all the rest. So.
Yeah, and I don't. And then of course anybody else that had fallen by the wayside earlier in the year, Unique Bella,
right.
So forth. Well.
Anyway,
a nice win, Mark.
Vote.
It's absolutely a terrific, outcome, and the fact that she'll be back next year, fans can tie on. And let's also, Mark, talk about everything else that transpired Breeders' Cup wise, and even over this past weekend. I mentioned the two wins at Woodbine and March to the Arch. Tried the Commonwealth, but some further thoughts about. Breeders' Cup weekend?
Well, it was kind of, the rest was kind of anticlimactic for us. Wonder Godot's home. She's getting a break. I'm not sure really what I'm going to do with her. How good is Monomoy Girl? I mean, she's just phenomenal. And we had the perfect trip. We were sitting right where we wanted to be, and our filly gave it up. So we're regrouping with her. Strike Silver, he ran good in the turf sprint. As many do anytime you sprint, especially two-year-olds, five and a half on the turf, they're going to be rough trips. And he had a little bit of a rough trip, but he still had every right to run well, and he didn't. And then... the horse that probably ran maybe the best, and he got really nothing to show for it, was War Will.
Yeah.
He ended up running, I think he ran something like 74 feet farther than the winner. He ran 95 feet farther than the second place horse. And, you just go down, the wide trip just killed him. He's probably going to come back and run again this year. Strike Silver is going to have a little freshener and maybe try the dirt again. He was second in the Sanford, so he also has some dirt potential.
Well, and War of Will, got beat, three lengths for everything. And, also, what did Joel say at that time? How did he handle the going?
He said he handled it fine. He said he handled it fine. Just there was nothing he could do. He just said he was so wide. So what is it? Eight feet is a length. So 74 feet. You figured out that's and like I said, 96 feet farther than the second horse. So anyways, I'm proud of him. He'll be just fine.
Yeah, no, that's a nice horse.
He amazing enough, and I know it's crazy, but he trains probably as good as any two-year-old I have on the dirt. So at some point in time, you're going to see him give it a try on the dirt as well.
War of Will, you've really sent out a phalanx of horses, including a bunch of maiden tries and a couple of maiden breakers that obviously have got upside, and getting everybody, in some cases, their first starts in. But let's touch on the two stake winners over the weekend. And She's the Berries has been a very nice very nice horse, and I whenever I see her in the entry, I always kind of take a look, and this goes back to when when
Brian Hatter.
Brian Lynch had her, yeah. And this is a nice win.
Yeah, the key to her, as I told the Joneses, is that, and a lot of it is, I think this is overlooked sometimes, but when you get a horse that really thrives over the synthetic, the Tapita, there's a big advantage in training over it. And, you know, we ran her, we got her from Brian. She was in wonderful shape when we got her. We ran her, she ran okay. But then she got to train over the Tapita for a while, and then she started really getting good. I told Brett right before the Breeders' Cup, I was looking at horses, and I said something to him about Shamrock Rose. I said, I'm going to run her in the Breeders' Cup. I said, she thinks she can beat anybody right now. I told him the other day, I told him that same time, she's the Berries think she can beat anybody at this time. So I said, we're going to run her in the stake. And I said, she's going to run really well. After the break, I thought, oh, boy, because she broke bad and gave everybody a head start, but it didn't matter. That's just how good she is right now. She's another three-year-old filly that is just thriving at this point in time.
Well, and this is, you know, this is kind of the backstory that people, you know, people, particularly the Joneses, when we talk, you mentioned Brett, and of course Brary bred this filly. She is out of a daddy mare and is by Badge of Silver. So getting her, the homebred, getting her this black type is invaluable to the Joneses, because she'll end up in the broodmare band. She'll support probably a new sire that matches up well. I mean, you this is something the people like Airdrie team, a win they really covet.
Well, and I'll tell you what, I would not be surprised this filly, you know, stays happy and healthy. I would think we'll probably run her another year. I haven't, but I wouldn't be overly shocked if you see this filly running in graded stakes next year. She's gotten good, and she kind of is, you know, we do things a little differently for the most part. We let our horses run and we try to develop them and get them better and better. And some do and some don't, but She's a prime example of our program, and I think you're going to see even a better horse next year. So I think we're going to add to that black type for her.
Very nice. She's the Berries. And then a nice win for Mrs. Weber as I don't know if did she name I can't believe she would name a horse after herself, actually.
No. Of course. I think Jenny named that one.
So yeah.
That one has a funny story a bit to it. I was at the sale, and I called at the Keeneland sale, and I called up Mrs. Weber, and I said, I see a filly. I just love her. I really would like to buy her. And she goes, well, let's try. And we got her. And then I think Jenny knew how much that I loved her. And so I think that's how she got her name. So, and you know what? Her race was impressive yesterday because she had every reason to lose, but she was able to overcome that and win. And she's a filly that, you know, I don't know what the sky's the limit for that filly. She could go on and do big things. Now it's time. She's going to have to try to go back, and we'll probably take her to New Orleans with David Carroll and see how she trains on the dirt or the grass and go from there. But that was nice. It was nice for, you know, whenever you train one called Super Charlotte, you would want it to run well. I told her, I said, that's a lot of pressure.
And, absolutely.
So that was nice.
Two for two, though, and obviously with plenty of upside. And speaking of upside, Mark, you've sent out a bunch of maidens. What are you seeing from the two-year-olds that is most encouraging? I could bring up half a dozen of them.
Yeah, we had I think think of Awesome Slew's half brother right now. He was very impressive the other day at Churchill, and I think he's a nice horse. Then, of course, we had the More Than Ready filly for Charlotte Wynn at Woodbine the other day, first time around two turns, so she's nice. Super Jackpot's the colt by Ghost Zapper,
right.
The half Awesome Slew that won real impressive the other day. And this is our time, you know. This is most of the time our young horses are, if we bought them or whatever, we're developing them to come around and in the fall. It's gotten away a little bit. We haven't done as much trying to be effective early on, but that's changed a little bit too. We went out and did things a little different at the yearling sales this year, so I think you're going to see us be a little more aggressive early with some of it. We bought some young horses to run early, so that may change this year coming up. But
interesting.
Yeah, we're encouraged. It's just at this point in time, Steve, it's who can continue to grow and get better, and some will and some won't, and you know, so the next 3 months or so are always very interesting.
Well, and speaking of New Orleans, you mentioned Davy Carroll taking the string down there. We open this week, right? We open Thursday.
Right. Yeah, we have a couple in.
Yeah.
What about young Declan? Have you got to watch him ride? I'm very proud.
Absolutely.
Of
he was on. We had him on to open. Oh, absolutely. I've literally watched him grow up from a little tiny patty into what is going to be a very good rider. If he can, you know, if he keeps that his dad's frame, and it seems like he will, he's going to win a lot of races.
A couple funny things there. So we had him. I had him at Saratoga with me.
Yes,
he was ready to run, but we didn't have anything to ride. So we sent him up to Woodbine, and he had to kind of go through all the same stuff again. And finally we rode him on a horse, and he kind of said, I think he was homesick. You want to go back to Kentucky? And I told David, I said, thank goodness, please take him. I can't take this much pressure. It's one thing to have a guy's horse. It's another one to have his son. And I said, so we did that. And then, you know, David rode a little bit, I guess, in Ireland when he was younger. So I said, so David, how many races did you win? And there was a big pause. And he said, none. I said, all right, so Declan's already done a lot better than you.
we'll have to give Davey give him the business a little bit.
But Declan can ride. I don't ride apprentice riders. It's not something I normally do. But he rides a good race. In fact, it amazes me for the fewer rides that he has, how well he's done. But you got to remember something. This is all this he wanted to do since he was a little boy.
Yep.
And he's been able to watch it. It's like a young, I've had my kids learning to drive, and if somebody rides along with you, they learn to drive even when they're not driving. And then you take we had a friend that had never driven before, or even they had lived downtown and rode a bus everywhere in the subway, and trying to teach them to drive, that's a whole different world. So that I think a lot of that, you know, Declan's been watching horse racing his entire life, and he understands it, and you can see it. You can see it in his riding already at such a, you know, such an early stage.
Well, the whole family. I brought this up with him, and you know, his sister working for Phil Dutton, and you know, not only Davey, but his mom Kim, terrific exercise rider, and between all four. I mean, the whole family. It's the riding Carrolls. You know, it's funny
exactly.
Too. We were in the winner's circle, and it was before a turf race. It might have been the filly and mare turf, and he was with his girlfriend, and whoever, what I can't remember what, there was somebody, whoever won, there was the Irish, there was a group of the Irish lads in the winner's circle watching as well. And Davey, Declan asked if they who they were with, and it turned out that Dex's aunt, yeah, his aunt, it works at the yard where whoever it was that they were, and so that that was a funny aside in the morning.
I think when Declan made his first start for us, I think half of Ireland was watching.
So great. Well, the teams moved down to New Orleans to get going, and the fairground season. You've got a couple of maidens that are going to start on Thursday. Explorationist for Gainesway and the Oxleys, and this is, you know, this colt. This was a serious purchase, and certainly bought to be a good horse. Talk about his progress.
Well, we've had some issues with him. He gets very excited, and he kind of shuts off his air when he's running, and we still think that he's a really good horse. He just has to learn to relax, and the only way to do that is by running. Ultimately, when the dust clears, I think he's still going to be a pretty good horse. So we'll see.
Explorationist goes in the fifth, taking advantage of a turf sprint, and then going a mile and a 16th. These are the two-year-old fillies. This is one that Jack owns himself. Fortunate Girl. We saw her at Saratoga, and you had wanted to get her on the grass right away. And she's been okay. It feels like she's kind of a work in progress.
She had a terrible, terrible trip last time out of Keeneland. So if she gets a good trip, she should be very tough to beat.
Nice.
She's much better than you've seen so far.
Well, we'll look forward to that. That's the nightcap at Fairgrounds on Thursday, and then coming back on Friday in the fifth. This is another maiden race. This is a mile and a 16th. This time it's the boys, and a bold proposition for Jack. And this is out of the nice mare, funny proposition.
The filly I trained.
Yeah,
he has been. He's another one, which often happens with Tappets. Just he's his own worst enemy. He gets, he doesn't relax. He just is so hard on himself. So both him and the other horse we talked about, Explorationist, they just need to run. And we're going to go ahead and see how he likes the turf. If it came off, he would run. But he's a horse that I would definitely label as an underachiever at this point. So we still hold out hope for him.
Well, season getting going at Fairgrounds, looking forward to that. And, of course, a lot of the issues with the turf course is way behind them after they kind of rebuilt it. And it's made a big difference. Bold proposition on Friday. Mark, a lot of good things happening, and a very nice Breeders' Cup victory adding to your record in the event. Many more to come. Strong finish to the year. Best of luck. I appreciate it as always.
Thanks, Steve. Have a good day.
Mark Cassie, everybody. Follow Mark E. Cassie on Twitter. And big operation, obviously a ton to talk about, and gave us a good opportunity to kind of look ahead to Fairgrounds as well. Right now we're looking ahead to hour number two. George Weaver is standing by, and George is going to talk to us next. We'll get you caught up on what looks to be a very serious two-year-old, Vekoma, that busted out last week in the Nashua. Now is going to look ahead to the Remsen when you can see him next. And then over the weekend down at Laurel, George came back with Randy Hill's Majestic Dunnell, and a horse that we've seen at New York for the last couple of years, and wins down there. So we'll talk to George Weaver after this. Then Johnny D. Dick Girardi is going to join us, and much, much more. Stay with us.
latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.